The reading this morning is 1 John chapter 1. And it's headed up in my version, the incarnation of the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, and that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray for Chris before he brings the message. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for the message that you've put on his heart to bring to us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you will open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive from you through him. Amen.
Good morning, welcome. It's lovely to have some people here with us in the building. It's great that we can gather. And welcome to those of you that are joining us online. I know there's a few more of you out there this morning, and it's great to have you with us. So, do pray for us as we pray with you. We believe that God's called us to be a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic, spirit-filled fellowship here in Burwell. As I've said before, each year we try to find a verse that God might be speaking to us to inspire and guide us in doing that. And this year, our year text is 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, which I'm sure you know off by heart by now. Thank you. There should be a PowerPoint there. Ant's looking at me amazed, but yeah, I think there should be. Anyway, but as you all know off by heart anyway, you'll be able to say with me, dear
children.
Yeah, good, we got the first word, good. There is a banner up here if you're struggling at all. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Okay, well, I'm sure by the end of this year you'll know that completely off by heart. So this morning I'm exploring a new series about our mission statements in the light of that year text. So those words that I used at the beginning are a summary of our mission statement. A much fuller document is available that contains all the biblical background to that. And some of you here today or watching online might remember when that was first put into the members' handbook as part of the at the end of the Constitution. It opens with this introduction. We want Jesus to be central in our fellowship. We will always endeavour to lift him high so that everyone may see him in all that we say and do. That's a high aspiration, isn't it? It's really important, and I think we'd all say amen to that today. We will model our fellowship on the early church, having those characteristics found in the Acts of the Apostles, particularly Acts 2, 42 to 47. So that sets the framework of what it is that, thank you, the mission statement is saying to us. And that's what I've summarised here in this statement. This morning we're going to be thinking about how we go about building a loving fellowship. We're going to focus on that element. And in the mission statement, it has two verses that sort of amplify what that might mean. From one from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, which we heard read this morning, and one from 1 John 3:17, the verse before our year text. I did send out electronically a copy of the mission statement by Facebook, and I think Trevor sent it out by email. If you're not electronically connected, then there are hard copies available at either the front door or in the schoolroom this morning. So I encourage you to take one of those home and reflect on it or look at it electronically. So 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And 1 John 3:17 says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" So these two verses clarify what it means to seek to build a loving fellowship. Before we dig into the depths of that, those verses and how we might respond to them, I want to focus on one word: fellowship. It's important because each of the topics are attributes of fellowship, that fellowship that we're seeking to build. So fellowship is one possible translation of the Greek word which John used, which is koinonia. I am not a Greek scholar. I know virtually no Greek. I do know how to ask for the bill, but that's probably not particularly useful in biblical scholarship. I can understand that it's a little bit daunting, especially when the letters look a bit unfamiliar. That's why I put it in the English letters as well. But it's important to remember that the New Testament was written in Greek, and we always lose something in translation. And a bit of background can help us to regain what we've lost. So this word can be translated partnership, sharing, or even stewardship. We're called to be partners with God, partners with each other. You know that God's given us everything that we need for life and godliness, and he dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. And as stewards of these gifts, we're called to share what we've been given with others. So koinonia describes an intimate spiritual communion, sharing in common and active in sharing in covenant community. It can be applied to the interactive relationship that we have with God. But it is also applicable to believers spiritually with God, but it must involve participation in Christian community, sharing spiritual and material blessings. And that's why John puts it so forcefully when he says, if anyone has any material possessions and sees a brother in need or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? There's such a close connection between the spiritual and the physical aspects of koinonia that they can't really be separated. Jessica Brody is a Christian writer, and she puts it like this. I'm hoping that there was a quote there, but it's not that one. I've lost it. Where's it gone? It's there somewhere. Okay, I'll just have to tell you then. Oh, we're taking note of all those things that are coming up. Questions later. Okay, so this is what she says. It is a divinely intimate, holy unity among believers and between believers and the Lord, involving everything from spiritual oneness in the Holy Spirit, community life, sharing contributions from money to food gifts, and the communion partaken in the body and blood of Christ. So it's a very wide and encompassing word and very deep. And that's why I think if we can hold on to all of that meaning when we see that word, we'll understand more deeply what's being said in the Bible. So in 1 John 1, John is clear that the connection between believers arises out of their intimate relationship with Father and Son. So the reason that we can have fellowship with each other is because we've been reconciled with God the Father. This is a relationship made possible by the sacrificial death of Jesus, and we enter into it by faith. The believer becomes the child of God, and then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in them. Remember that Jesus spoke about us becoming one with the Father as he was one with the Father. That always blows my mind, that Jesus should talk about our unity with the Father as being like his with the Father. And then he blows my mind even more because he says that he wants us to be in fellowship with each other in the same way. So this is what Jesus said. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world might believe that you sent me. So building this fellowship with one another is foundational to the world believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's crucial for our outreach as well as for building up the body of Christ. So I hope you can see there's a very close connection between our deep unity with God and our growing unity with each other. Our unity arises from sharing the same Spirit, and the whole image of the church being a body with many different members working in unison is an outworking of the Spirit giving us the gifts and the members using them to serve the whole body. So it's a deeply spiritual union. However, the book of Acts and the verses referenced in the mission statement from 1 John make clear that this fellowship extends to practical care as well as spiritual connection. And Jesus' prayer also makes clear that our unity with the Father and with each other are what enable the world to believe in him as the one sent from the Father. So fellowship directly related to evangelism. Fellowship is far more than tea and coffee after the service, though that can help foster fellowship. How can we grow in mutual affection and care if we never talk to each other long enough to understand each other's needs? It's far more than attending worship in the same building, but it can start from that. Fellowship is the community which arises out of mutual love for each other. That mutual agape love, another Greek word, but one you're probably familiar with, agape love, self-sacrificial, undeserved love. So Blackaby puts it like this. Koinonia, fellowship, is agape love in action. It is how we experience God's love for his people and in his people. So fellowship is where we experience that God-given, self-sacrificial, undeserved love in action. It's how we experience God's love for his people and in his people. I hope you're beginning to see just how deep that word that we sort of talk about quite lightly, fellowship, really is. So remember John's definition of love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's the depth of agape love. And that's what's lived out in action in Koinonia. So I remind you again that love cannot be demanded, nor can we judge the quality of other people's love. We can only respond to the call of Jesus to love one another as he has loved us. And this series is going to explore what it might mean to truly be a fellowship. How we go about building a fellowship that is loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled. So this week, we're focusing on building a loving fellowship. A fellowship, now you know what the word means, must by definition be loving. You can't have an unloving fellowship. It just isn't fellowship anymore. If we love one another as Jesus has loved us, then we will be in fellowship with one another. If we don't love one another, John tells us, we don't love God either. However, we can all grow in love. None of us is yet perfected in love, so we can all grow in love. And I've picked out three different ways that I could think of. We can grow in our knowledge and experience of God's love for us. We can grow in love for God. And then we can grow in love for our brothers and sisters. And I think you'll see how one leads to another. They're very deeply related to each other. You'll see how growing in a knowledge and experience of God's love will help us to love him more and in turn love each other more. That is pretty much the point of church. There ain't much point in us coming together unless it is about growing in love for God, growing in our love for him, and then growing in love for each other. Stanley Grenz, he's written this huge tome on theology about the community of God, but he sums up church like this. The church is far more than a gathering of saved individuals who band together for the task of winning the lost. The church is the community of salvation. You could probably spend a whole week talking about that, but it's about fellowship being an active interaction with God's Holy Spirit at work amongst us. Far more than just we're saved and now we need to get other people to believe the same as we believe. It's the work of God amongst us, changing us and through us showing his love for others. So the God-orientated aspects of those three points of growing in love, we try and do that through Bible teaching, worship, and prayer. We do this in Sunday services on a Sunday morning, and we do it in our meetings during the week. This week, I'm going to particularly focus on the third point, our love for each other, because it's highlighted in our year text. So that third point, growing in love for our brothers and sisters. Jessica Brody, suggested seven ways that we can respond to this call to koinonia, to fellowship. These seven ways. So firstly, spiritual gifts. She says, serving each other with our spiritual gifts is one key way that we can be full in the full body of Christ today. As Peter wrote, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So you've got that image again of stewardship, the Spirit giving us gifts, and as in stewardship, using those to build up the body. Paul expanded on this, noting, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And we know that Paul describes the most excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 and summarizes it like this. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. More on that later in the series. But you might also be reminded of our year text from last year. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So, spiritual gifts. Secondly, hospitality. We can be hospitable to each other, offering food, clothing, shelter, and more. Well, that's been quite difficult in the last couple of years, hasn't it? But I'm hoping that as we slowly move out of times where the most loving thing to do was to keep away from people, that we might be able to start showing hospitality to one another again. And I'd encourage you to look for ways to do that safely. Togetherness, also been quite tricky over the last couple of years. But interesting that at this time, perhaps God's talking to us about how we might be together online as well as on site. We can gather together for worship, Bible study, small group time, meals, and service opportunities. And we've seen people starting to do that, to starting to work together in practical ways. Acceptance. So we can accept and include each other, even when one among us is weak, either in faith or they're unusual. This will often mean bearing with one another and sometimes forgiving one another. There can be no fellowship if we hold on to unforgiveness. It breaks fellowship. Encouragement. We can encourage and support each other, as well as hold each other accountable when necessary. I would say this is a really encouraging church. You know, people encourage me, thank you for that. But also I see it between each of you. There is encouragement and support for each other. So well done in doing that. Keep on being an encouraging church. Service. We can serve each other. This again is still Brody speaking. We can wash each other's feet, watching each other's children, or providing a meal when somebody is sick or otherwise unable. Well, again, some of these things have been quite difficult, but I think we have found ways in which we've served each other, whether it's just a phone call or just bearing one another up in prayer. And sharing our abundance. We can share our abundance with each other and the church through our tithes and offerings so that God's work may be done in the world. And the reference at the bottom for those of you online, just so that you can see the whole article if you want to. So I thought that was an interesting way of looking at fellowship. She was saying that it's quite all-embracing, and here's seven different things about fellowship and how we might build up that love that we have for each other. Perhaps a bit broader than you might have thought of when you arrived this morning. So as a body with different members and therefore differing gifts, we'll have different ways of contributing to that process of building a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship. But we're all called to love, right? There might be some that are teachers, some that are prophets, some that are evangelists, but all of us are called to love. So, let me turn the question back on you. How will you grow in your love this year? And it might be in any one of those seven different ways. Let me just give a moment for you to reflect on that. To think about that call to love one another, the recognition that we can grow in our knowledge and experience of God's love, we can love God more, we can love each other more, and if that's true, how might we do that this year? How might we move beyond words and speech into action and truth? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are always there through the good times and the bad, that your love has been displayed on the cross beyond all doubt. You offered up your own only son because you loved us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, all the fullness of God in bodily form, gave your life willingly to save us. Thank you that that means that whatever we go through, whatever we experience, nothing can convince us that your love is not set upon us, because you have proved it once and forever. We therefore come and humbly say, would you enable us to love one another as you have loved us? It is well beyond our capacity to do that in our own strength. Help us, Lord, to receive your gifts, that we might have something to share back with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us in this year, Lord, to grow in love for you and love for each other. Help us to have faith to believe that that can happen. Fill us again this day, we pray, with your Holy Spirit. Free us to use those gifts that you've given us to build up the body of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Thank you.